You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
We're back. Yeah. Diablo's Den. Diablo's Den, episode 6.
Yes. Is that loud enough for me?
I think that sounds pretty good.
All right. So
we're back after a little bit of a break. We're excited.
2 months.
Ezak's been a little bit busy.
I've been mad busy.
With shows. But we're back and we're really excited. So I want to just give a quick shout out to Gotham City Podcast, who's always looked out for us. They're in their new location. So we're here. We're excited to be here. You guys should check them out. They've always been great. We're going to jump in. You guys know the drill. Who's our sponsor, Lord Ezak?
Our sponsor is Oak and Crow Coffee.
The ever popular Oak and Crow Coffee. So listen, you guys, you're going to want to make sure to go check out oakandcrow.com. You're going to use the discount code DMS, and that's going to save 10% on your order.
You get punched in the face.
Now, Ezak, you had said that people have been trying to order, and you wanted to talk to them about it. So why don't you give a little quick...
I got my own...
instruction manual, so to speak.
I got my own coffee. I had it for a few months already. Diablo's Dark Roast Coffee. If you want the fucking coffee, hit up... Go to oakandcrow.com. And hit the link and wherever it comes, if you're in the United States. But if you're overseas, which a lot of my fans are from overseas, please hit Oak and Crow on Instagram, at Oak and Crow. And then...
Oak and Crow.
Oak and A-N-D Crow. And you, for your Game of Thrones people. the crows. So this DM... Oak
Jake,
and Crow.
Yep.
And they will work the shipping out.
Does the coffee keep you up for 3 days straight?
Yeah. Yes, it makes you bang. Because the coffee
and
makes
bang hookers.
Bang hookers up for 3 days. That's what my coffee
does. I know
what
kind of coffee this is.
Yeah.
So the voices you hear are our guests today. I'm going to let Danny introduce our guests today. Tell them a little bit about what we're talking about today and who we got with us.
All right. So Jay Reason hit me up and asked me, you know that Kings of Crime 20 years this year. And I was like, I'm a fucking loser. I was like, oh my God, 20 years. And look, we're in the same boat.
Sinking ship.
Hey, thank God we're alive.
Mayday. SOS. Check out. So basically, he was like, yo, we got to do the history of Kings of Crime. Because the people say that Kings of Crime is a classic New York hardcore record.
No question.
So it's crazy because Anastasia Front, you know, Victim of Pain was my classic. You know? So it's funny that people think this is a classic. You know? But I think we were ahead of our time. And the way that we were, I don't know, it's just so, just for us to even put a record out and finish something was even crazy.
So before we get into it, tell us who's joining us from the original lineup.
So on my left over here, everyone might know him from playing in bands like Madball. What was the
Ragman you did?
Ragman?
Yeah.
The thrash band from
Exalt.
Exalt? Yeah.
From Queens.
But everyone from Long Island's best, Mitz, everybody.
Yeah. Mitz.
Guitar player.
And then?
Oh, fuck. Mitz got away for a while, but this guy has been stuck with on and off for years.
I don't go away.
One of the best bass players in New York hardcore history, right?
Thank you for saying it.
The man, the myth from White Owl. Bass Mafia.
Word up, Bass Mafia. Shout out to Bass Mafia.
What's up, Craighead? Mike Gallo.
Ahoy, Rock.
All right, so let's go around a little bit. You guys know the drill. We always to do a couple little shout-outs. So while we've been away, Ezak, let's just start with you because you've been super busy the past 2 months.
Shit. Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about what you've been doing. I'm going to start first by talking about something that took place here on episode one.
What was that?
There was a new video from Concrete Dream on E-Train Records.
Yes.
Which took place here, Diablo's at episode one, when we had Dale Ray dressed in Gini. So you guys got to check out that video. Go ahead. Plug that.
The new video, Pit Trap.
Yeah.
So everyone, check this out. Concrete Dream is a band I signed to my label, E-Train Records, right? And on the, what's it called? On the, these kids are fucking amazing. They're trap metal.
Yeah.
So it's,
and you had Hyro.
Hyro the Hero was on the remix, and Dale Restighini did the video.
Yeah, the video is sick. So I'm going to, there'll be a link in it.
So E-Train Records, Concrete Dream, Pit Trap featuring Hyro the Hero. Shout out to Hyro the Hero. He's a good kid. We spoke. Dude, dope guy. He wants to do some music with me. Shout out to Don Caprio. Shout out to Leon.
And shout out to Rage. What else? What else
Rage,
is popping with
Resigini.
You? What else? What, and you just finished up Diablo's Fest.
Oh, so listen. But what else? I just had a Diablo Fest 2019.
How was that?
Black Blue Week. MOP headline. It was great.
That's amazing.
I think my
Black Color lineup.
It was a dope lineup. It was cool, but
I like that venue.
Me too. But the Black and Blue Bowl was all weekend. Shout out to everyone that went to the Black and
Shout
Blue
out.
Bowl.
Yep.
I'm glad that I was part of the Black and Blue all together. Usually I have to do my own thing, but they got I'm in there, motherfuckers. So the first night, Diablo Fest was ill. That's all I have to say.
That's awesome.
Shout out to MOP.
That's awesome. What have you been listening to or watching?
Oh,
let's
shit.
Go down the
oh,
line.
Oh, shit. That's me. I'm sorry.
Yep.
What's up, Lord Jewish?
What else you been
I'm listening to my boy. My boy Chubbs. Chubbs has a.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Has a.
Shout out
a
to
video.
Our in-house DJ, Lord Jewish.
Lord Jewish. Chubbs, my brother Chubbs, my little brother Chubbs, has a video called Cuisine. You can find that shit. It's ill.
That's dope.
Right? That's right.
That's a very regional word, right?
He's from Long Island.
Yeah, you say that word.
Well, Jewish from Long Island.
A lot of people don't know what a cuisine is.
Yeah, I know, but I don't give a fuck about those people.
All right, so
a Guido, cuisine. Come on.
Cuisine and Guido, same thing. Brooklyn and Queens, like, differential terms.
Yeah. That's a whole thing.
You've been listening to anything else, or?
Yes, I've been listening to the... My homeboy from Show Me the Body, the singer, is a cool kid. He sent me the new record.
How was that?
Shit is fucking crazy. It was like banjos and fucking. It was like it was weird shit, bro. Shit was hard and shit was like catchy. Sometimes the young bands, I'm like, what the fuck is that? But I'm really cool. These kids are good. They're a three piece too. So shout out to Show Me the Body. But also, I've been listening to my brother. Gorilla Nems just put out a fucking new album that's
awesome.
Fucking ill. Shout out to Nems. That's my brother.
That's awesome.
Gorilla, the album's called Gorilla Monsoon. So, go to Spotify, wherever. Go to YouTube, check Nems out. I did a song like four years ago, me and Nems, with a guy called Shortfuse from Canada, French-Canadian guy. And me and them, they did a picture. They did a cartoon of us. It was like a cartoon, an animation, and it looked exactly like me and them. It's crazy.
That's dope.
He's from out my way, right?
He's from Coney Island. Yeah. Shout out. He's one of the illest out there. I'm happy. Him, the other kid, Ito from Rochester. That kid is dope too. I've been listening to Struggle Jennings.
Oh, all right. Yeah, that's a good record.
Yo, I've been listening to all his stuff and his fiddle player. It's a fan and stuff. It's cool. So he said, struggle, whatever. We know who each other are. That's crazy.
That's
right?
Dope. That's dope.
So shout out to Struggle Jennings and his music. So shout out to Travis Bar. One more.
Oh, yeah.
One more. I know what the fuck it was, but.
Well, so while you're thinking of that one, I'm just going to plug a couple records I've been listening to really quick. Two bands out of California right now, new bands that I've been totally listening to nonstop. Section Hate, it's called. Not Section 8.
That's
Section 8 on Flatspot Records.
My mother's on Section 8.
No, Section 8 on Flatspot Records. And I want to shout out Fury Failed Entertainment on Run for Cover Records. Awesome record. Kind of reminds me of almost like a Burn.
Wait,
I'm telling you.
Wait, so the band's called Run for Cover?
No, that's the label they're on. The band is called Fury.
Wait, Run for Cover?
Yeah.
go.
That's what I'm going to do so after this podcast is over.
So I want to shout out the new Damn Things record, which is Keith Buckley from Every Time I Die, friend of the podcast. He's got a new record that's got the guys from Scott Ian from Anthrax is in the band. Yeah. He's got two of the dudes from Fall Out Boy, it sounds like. Yeah, it's dope, dude. Rips,
we got beat these guys.
No way.
Chase, you're singing in the band. I'm playing bass. We got some other podcasts.
Everyone check that out. And then last little plug, man. I just want to shout out my boy Greg, who does the Back to School Jam in Jersey City, New Jersey. He's doing it this year, September 7th at White Eagle Hall. So everybody gets a kick out of me saying the band names to Ezak. So I guarantee you this is gonna be a whole lot of who the fuck and what the fuck. We got Fence Cutter, Abuse of Power.
Fence Cutter?
Yep. Higher Power. Division of Mind, Drug Church, who I know you like the name of that one.
What, but is that like a Black Sabbath kind of?
No, no, they're like indie. Sounds like.
What does that mean?
What do you think they're going for with Fence Cutter?
Yeah. Bulldoze?
Who knows?
Bulldoze style?
Probably. Wow. Probably.
Yeah.
Then we got Fiddlehead.
Fiddlehead? Who, they gotta change the name. Tell them to change the name.
Culture Abuse, who's from California. Then a Guns Up Reunion. And then Most Precious Blood.
Wait, Guns Up, who's that?
This is a band, early mid-2000s core from Mass. I'll be surprised to see how it goes. And then right. Most Precious Blood, which is our friend Tom Sheehan from shout out to Axe to Grind Podcast. And Vain and Folly, so check that out.
That's cool.
Yep, so I just want to shout that out and bring some attention. That's in September.
I want to shout out right now my boy Large, who has a cartoon called The Wildlife Cartoon. If you go to The Wildlife Cartoon on Instagram, The Wildlife, that's the name of the cartoon, and I'm in this cartoon. So that's me right there. So like
it's that's awesome. Let's see this. The wolf or the gorilla?
The orangutan, dummy.
And so for everybody who doesn't know, you the listeners, this is on YouTube. So I just want to remind everybody, you know, if anything that you hear us talk about or say, you will see it if you are watching
so
on YouTube.
So check this out. We're gonna show you a clip of the Wildlife cartoon and me in it. So enjoy. Shout out to Large, Button Wildlife Cartoon.
Yep. So check that out. If you're listening, go to the YouTube channel. That's going to be dropped in right over here. So let's go back to the table. Mitz, what are you checking out? What have you been listening to? What are you into? It could be a movie, music. It's just anything.
Don't ask him that question.
No. It always gets the conversation going.
The Chernobyl series on HBO was fucking incredible.
Awesome.
Oh, my God.
What else? Music. The new Rammstein. Is
what's up with this fucking
didn't put a record
Europe Eastern thing going on? Yeah,
Europe. He's gonna move to Europe.
No. He's gonna go Holland.
They put something out. It's their first thing in like 10 years, and they dropped it hard.
Yeah, they always do crazy videos, man.
Videos.
They're like they debut their videos on Pornhub. Rammstein, remember them? Josta loved them.
Heavy.
Dolph.
Go ahead. Oh, I want to shout out a band I just produced.
Go ahead.
Back last year, I went over to Tel Aviv to produce a band called Eternal Struggle.
Yep.
Oh, shit. And,
they're Israeli,
right?
Yeah, Israeli band. They were telling me they're a hardcore band. I feel like they're a little more metal than hardcore. Mm-hmm. So I'll say they're like a metalcore band.
Yep.
And that record, they don't have a label yet, so we're going to try to help them find somebody to put
Hey,
it
if
out,
somebody's
so
listening and wants to hit us up,
how about let me hear? Are they Jewish? I'll sign them.
They're all Jewish.
I sign them. That's it.
See how it works?
E-Train Records.
Done deal.
E-Train Records. I'm just signing.
Donnie, get the contract ready.
Donnie, get the contract ready. I'm just signing all Jews. I don't care.
Look out later this year for Eternal Struggle. The record's called Year of the Gun.
That's awesome.
See, yo, I'm putting it out definitely now. It's on.
And then Owl, what have you been checking out?
All right, well, you know what?
Pornhub.
The Fappening. Right?
Asian Pornhub.
Yeah, do you hear make noise?
Yeah, midget porn. Yeah. And you know, music-wise, I've been doing my own project. And to be honest, it's I get caught up so much on my own shit. I really don't listen to that much other stuff, especially when I'm working on something.
This guy listens to like one Fishbone record. Casey the Sunshine Band, George Clinton, and Bootsy Collins. That's
pretty much true. But what was I going to say? So Butterbrain is a new project. It's most of the guys from White Trash. We're putting out a 5-song EP.
Tell the members.
Well, so hold on. Let's hold that off until we get it down a little bit of line. Let's talk. Let's get into the bulk of the conversation. We'll talk about how this all comes together, right?
Shout out to Butterbrain.
All right.
Thank you.
So as everybody knows, one of the most important, I mean, for us, for my age growing up, Victory Records was super influential. And
shout out to Victory.
This record was really important, especially to me and Yvonne. Shout out to Yvonne. We used to listen to this record in the car all the time.
Yvonne.
This is record is how I became Yvonne? Friends with you
yep.
through this and just kind of, you know, it just means a lot to me. So I'm really happy to have you here. And I know a lot of people have questions just in general about, you know, coming from Crown of Thorns, super successful New York band, into another project that was bigger, I would think, right?
Scarhead. Yeah. I'm a Scarhead guy.
Scarhead is definitely bigger because more of like the thrash side, metal side.
And I think just touring more, right? Like being on Victory.
Yeah, different crowd. You know,
So I
think the Crown Thorns crowd was more like the people like Burn and stuff like that.
Yeah, the lyrics you were writing too were different though.
Way different.
Crown Thorns lyrics were more personal.
Yeah.
Scarhead lyrics were more like fucking party vibe.
Like what rhymes with pussy?
I think we caught a vibe, like a momentum at the time that just like caught to it, like, you know, it was like a hardcore Wu-Tang Clan or something, and it wasn't contrived, you know, it came together like that. We had a little bit of talk about, if you remember,
yes,
because the original Scarhead EP was with Hoya.
Yeah, we had it really came down with Von Lewis. These guys put me.
So like, how does the
well, actually Von Lewis? These guys.
The big thing that was with this record was the EP you did before I was in it, before he was in it was. It was short. It was five songs.
Right.
So it set up this, like, people had this craving, like, yo, like what are you going to do more Scarhead?
Right.
And then there was the EP, whatever, the compilation thing, where you did Snickers,
New York's Hardest.
Snickers and Yas, New York's Hardest Comp, where it was like, oh, two Scarhead songs on there. So I remember being in Crown of Thorns with you and people coming up to us like, yeah, when are you going to do more Scarhead?
And that
when are you going to do more Scarhead? So there was a want for it, I felt. People wanted to hear more stuff.
I think it's like anything else. I think the world... Well, the tells your people is only like 25%. The rest is retards, right? So Scarhead's for the retarded 75%. It's Crown Thorns is for the smart 25%.
For the ignorant peeps.
That's how it goes. I'm sorry, everyone. I like Scarhead too.
So, E, how does the original idea come for Scarhead? Like,
I'll tell you right now.
Crown of Thorns ends, and give me the whole...
I was doing Scarhead, and Boston Mike was fucking living in my house, going to hang out all the time.
BBC.
Lou DiBella was like, I was like, yo, let's do some stuff together. And then,
we had a
meeting, I said, we'll do it, we'll make it bad. And we toured hard.
Like, Boston Mike was an original.
Boston
Mike came on the road with us and ended up singing because Lou got sick.
Lou got cancer. We're like, come on. It's fucked up because I'm on tour. When Lou got cancer, everyone's like, yo, man.
Nobody believed him.
Except
I went to the hospital with him because I felt bad.
He says that. I was like, yo, man. Man, the fuck up.
Everybody thought he was just trying to get out of being on tour so he could go see his girl.
We're like, man, the fuck up. Fucking faker. The nigga got cancer. How fucked up is that?
Everybody
that's
thought Scar- he just wanted to go home to see his girlfriend.
And that is Scarhead.
Poor Scar. Poor Lou.
Poor Lou. I love you, Lou DiBella.
Shout out, Lou.
Happy Father's Day, Lou.
The lyrics on that album, like, you know, all his parts, you could hear he's like struggling to get him through, but, you know, made it happen.
Yes.
I didn't even know Lou at the time because he went in and did his parts and like, he was more you guys guy.
You
like
never toured with him in the band.
Never toured with him.
By the time you got on the record, he was already sick.
Yeah.
And we had Boston Mike doing his part.
Yeah, Boston Mike, rest in peace. I love you, brother. That's one of the
rest in peace, Boston Mike.
But Boston Mike, right?
So going back to...
Wait, can we talk about Boston Mike losing Japan? In Japan? Boston Mike was... I'm telling a story right now. I don't give a fuck. So Boston Mike, Scarhead used to party hard. I'm talking about like no one party like we would be drinking and doing so much coke and fucking so many bitches. It was so crazy at that time. So Boston Mike loved it. You know, so like he'd be like white bitches. You know, like, so we were like we went to Japan and Japan. I went to Crown Thorns in '97 by myself. And I was like a star in Japan. I got my own playing cards. It was crazy. Well, I love Japanese people. I love the fans. But They came before, so Boston Mike is a roadie. He saw all this. He thought they saw him. They thought he was like King Kong. Yeah.
He had never experienced that kind of adulation before.
No.
That's the first time. He was used to playing hardcore shows across the U.S.
But not with us.
Where hardcore, even with us. Yeah, but I'm saying, where you know, yeah. hardcore kids are just like, you know, they whatever. You get to Japan, especially in the 90s.
Yeah,
they
were treating like another you like the world. Beatles. Yeah. Right.
So he when he lost his mind.
Tell me how he lost his mind.
About you, you broke his balls about... Yo, you can't get so drunk before the show because you suck in the show. Boston Mike, when Boston Mike is on his game,
he's great.
Was the scariest front man I ever seen in my life. But when he had too many beers in him and he lost that inspiration, he was just kind of up there like, just kind of plodding around up there. So you were telling him like, yo, we got to fucking be better. You got to be better than this. And he didn't want to hear it because he didn't want anybody telling him what to do.
Yeah, and no matter what, he was so crazy about shit like that.
And so you guys flipped out. And at the end of the night, you know how over there you go out to dinner after the show. So at the end of the night, we're all at the one end of the table, and he's down the other end with all the Japanese people, and he's looking over here, and he's grilling you down the table. And he's looking at everybody else. He's going, I'm staying out here. I ain't going back. He was dead set in his mind he was going to move to Japan. Fuck you, I'm staying here.
And what is he going to do? He doesn't even know. He ain't going to do a band or anything like that.
Love it.
Yo, Boston Mike is great. The best. Crazy, but like his front man, it's like, I don't know.
So
mine.
Let me just take one step back a little bit, E. So from going out of Crown of Thorns, right? The idea from Scarhead starts originally how? You just were over the band or trying to...
I want to do something else. I also want to do more like herb...
Yeah.
I sound like a record guy.
No, that's true. So, and then you end up doing an EP on another planet.
How did the EP start?
Yeah, and how did the EP start?
You
want
to hear some crazy
I'm
shit?
I'm curious to hear.
Here's how it started. The EP started. I got signed to another planet record because of Nick Packinine.
Wow, really?
Wow.
Nick Packinine is from Fresh Meadows. He worked in the mailroom of Profile Records. Now, Fred Feldman, when one day was talking to Nick Packinine, he goes, oh, there's a band called...
Shout out Fred Feldman.
Fred Feldman, what's up?
Both of us.
Shout out to Nick Packinine. I love you, Nick Packinine.
Ezek and I ended up label mates on Triple Crown years later. Go ahead.
Yeah. So Nick Packinine from Fresh Meadows, like, I used to date this girl from Fresh Meadows.
That, which is how we met, too.
That's how we met.
We met on the basketball court.
So with the KAC crew, last school, so it was crazy. It was DMS and KAC were like brothers. We'd go clubs and fuck niggas up. It was crazy. We would shout out to Yash, rest in peace.
Yash, and I want to mention Yash because...
he's on this record.
Yeah, not only did he bring... is my connection to Ezek and the whole DMS squad. He also wrote some of the lyrics. He was a creative dude from our neighborhood.
Poetry.
He had poetry. He had lyrics. He had shit. So
yes, I love you.
But when in a time after White Trash, when I was fucking around and doing drugs with these dudes basically and shit and fucking with Yash and Lash and you know, packing the whole Fresh Metals crew. And then this guy came into our neighborhood with Wreaking Havoc, fucking all the guys.
He fucked all the bitches. Right?
He was fucking the hottest girl in the neighborhood that, like, you know, everybody, but like,
Danny
but like,
Diablo, baby.
And then, you know, so I met him on the basketball court.
90, like, 90s pit playing basketball.
Yeah, who the fuck is this guy playing? And I had long hair too. I was like a metalhead. So we were both like, who's this dude? Who's this dude? And then Renee was with you that day.
Shout out to Renee and Reps.
Yep.
And those guys will stab the shit out of you.
So these are dudes that I grew up with in my neighborhood that were like, oh, you guys do music. You should link up.
Hold on. Our neighborhood's all connected. Steve LaBelle's from Fresh Metals, too.
Yep, that's right.
Who is the biggest, like, industry guy out there.
Yeah, he's
right
like, now. Yeah, but management industry
Shout
guy.
Shout out to Steve LaBelle. Also, listen, Nick Packinine. So was like talked to Fred Feldman. He goes, there's a band called Scarhead. This guy, he's like, yo, that's my nigga. And he goes, and I was like, he goes, yo, they want to sign you. I go, get the fuck out of here. So this is word of mouth. You know what I mean?
That's
so
crazy. I didn't even notice.
Now he had to call my mom's house.
Yeah, because back in the day, it was hard. It was so different. There was no internet.
Home, and I would say, call me. I was like, get the fuck out of here. Who's this? Fred Feldman. I was like, oh, shit. I went down. That's and cool. I got signed. And that changed my whole life.
That's cool. And that was in 1995, right?
95. Okay. Yep. And I was told, and that's why I told you that Amanda Shear, who fucking worked for Venture Records with Lords of Brooklyn on, and they were like, I'm part of Def Jam, Rick Rubin ran. She wanted to sign me Crown Thorns before that, and I didn't because I shook Feldman's hand. Oh, she's like, she told me, she looked me in the eyes, she goes, I admire your word, but in this business doesn't mean shit.
Years later we would find out how true that
it's
was.
It's true. Amanda Shear now does placements for soundtrack, and her husband had passed away. Was Ted Demme. He created Yo MTV Raps, and he did. He was Brian Demme's like directors. I mean,
that's crazy.
Big director. So, but Amanda Shear was also. I remember she gave me some good prep talks for about business.
Can I mention one thing too that
I just don't want to forget that in that process when we had like one initial discussion with Strong Management with Vaughn and these guys.
Yeah, shout out Vaughn and Kenny.
We got a van. Record deal. Shout out, get the record deal.
Let's take a little journey.
I was
there.
Just going to say one thing that I want to mention. Saab, our brother Saab, rest in peace. He was originally supposed to be part of that. I don't know if you guys remember. We even rehearsed in his house once or twice.
First lineup was going to be...
Rest in peace, Saab.
What was the first lineup?
First lineup was supposed to be Go on drums, Little Tony on drums.
We were going to have two drum sets.
Damn.
Yeah.
Saab was going to play guitar.
Yeah.
I was going to play guitar. Aaron was going to play bass. E and Lou. That was the same.
Wow.
What ended up happening...
We had to talk you out of two drummers. We were like, no,
that's
Saab. For real? Saab?
Yeah. We're going to have two drum sets on stage, like the Grateful fucking Dead.
You might have been right. I don't know.
Like the Grateful Dead.
We would have been bigger.
Saab realized he had to learn the songs and actually had to play them and lost interest.
And then we
decided, oh, Little Tony can play him on bass.
Yeah.
So that solved that. And then by that point, you lost your mind.
Yeah.
One out of 100. Yeah. The first of the 300 times you lost your mind.
Wait. Where did you lose his mind?
He didn't even do it. He wasn't in the band at first.
Yeah, he went crazy.
He gave that one of the many times he's lost.
Tony, he does that all the time.
I have a problem doing that. It keeps me to this point that I'm at today, so it's like leveling off.
What level is that, motherfucker? You look banged out.
So E, between 1995 and getting this record prepped, what are you guys playing actively, or what's happening?
The original singer Deep, which I haven't seen Deep in 10-15 years. Now I hang out every weekend. Yo, what up, Deep? Go down to Deep Down.
Get him on a show.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
He
did a show with at the Diablo Fest.
He was great.
Hey, killed it. Yeah.
Songs, right?
Yeah, yeah.
No, he's great. He's one of us.
Like
degenerate. Like crazy motherfucker.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So Deep is in the
Deep.
He's the first
He's first singer, then it went from Deep to Lou, then Lou got cancer. Oh, Scar's thing so bad. Cancer.
What a crew you got together.
The lineup I was talking about was 98.
Yeah, I know. But
it was 97, 98, the beginning of 98.
And that's before we did this record, but we had a little bit of a game plan.
Yeah,
I
want to understand, I mean, as a listener and a fan of the record, like, what is the transition where it's like, okay, this is now going to be, we're going to go put this band together. Was there an idea for a record already,
I was talking to Von Lewis. I was talking to Von Lewis and Von Lewis, Kenny Gabor, and I guess Trevor was Silver, right? Was that the time? Was advice? What's up, Trevor? What's up, Von? Kenny, I love you guys. It got crazy. It was a whole big thing. We went on the road.
You're getting ahead of it.
How I get the record deal?
So yeah, go ahead. You're on another planet, and you get on Victory. You end up on Victory Records.
So
how does this happen? So are you touring beforehand?
No. I had beef with a band called Integrity.
Okay.
And everyone knows what happened. To that. So I don't want to say anything. It's over in the past, but nigga got fucked up and fucking. That's what I'm saying. But I'm still, and it was one on one, and that's it. You know, everyone talks a good game into. Easy that comes
until
to your
it's
door.
Real
until
life,
the
right.
door, I come to your door and smash your fucking face in.
So then you end up on Victory Records.
So they were on Victory Records. So Tony, had a band on Victory Records, like followed them as like protection, like when they come to the thing. I was like, what? I was like, I'll fuck that nigga. I called up to Victory Records. I was like, yo, nigga, I will fuck you up. He's like, yo, oh, I love you, man. But basically, he's like, yo, I want to sign you guys. So I was like, what? I was like, this is easy. It's easy to get a record deal.
And lo and behold, we end up at Hot Kings of Crime.
Actually, shout out to Tony for putting Triad out.
Kings at Crime.
Kings at Crime.
So this album.
So that's how, yo, I did that a few times in my career, threatening niggas, and I got a fucking record deal.
That's amazing.
That's what I'm just saying. I'm just saying, like, if you got it, use it.
That's amazing.
That was pretty funny.
This album was produced by Sal Villanueva, right? And you guys recorded this at Big Blue Meanie.
Sal is a New York hardcore guy.
So, but for the other people who maybe don't know that he comes from a New York hardcore background, he produced two monster emo records, right? Thursday, Full Collapse, yes, and War All the Time. And Taking Back Sunday.
Whatever, Taking Thursday Back. Fuck it. Say, Sal is a great musician and
good guy.
So
he was
in
Demon Speed. Oh, yep. Man. Yep.
Did you guys know that you were going to have Sal?
But hold on. The chronology, we're getting ahead of ourselves because we did three tours before
the
record ever happened.
That's where I was trying to get
that out of him. Scammed us. Oh, my God.
I was trying to get that out of him. So go ahead. Thank you, Mitz, for being here.
He's the only one who remembers.
Yeah, I was going to say, thanks, Mitz, for being here.
So, me and him don't remember.
So prior to going into the record,
we didn't do the record till the end of the summer '99. We had already done like five tours and gone to Japan.
Yeah.
We were already touring.
Mitz, how the fuck you know this?
I don't know why.
You sure about that?
But I can't remember what I did fucking 2 days ago. No, but I can remember this stuff to the month.
I don't remember anything.
So we did the tours first. The first lineup ended up.
Which is why I had to save you and fucking the little Tony.
Hold on.
What tour was that?
That was Gwar.
And Misfits.
Gwar and Misfits. I think one of them was
Cleveland,
on that show.
Cincinnati.
That show might have just been Gwar.
Yeah?
I think it was. At Bogart's in Cincinnati. Good memory.
The singer passed away. That was the coolest guy.
He was a nice
guy. That was my boy, man.
Nice dude. We went out in the spring of 98. The spring of 98 was the famous tour. Earth Crisis, Madball.
Oh, my God.
Hatebreed, yep. Scarhead.
Minestrone to the Dome. Was phrased from that, from Josta. Used to say that all the time.
Yeah?
I don't...
Shame me, Josta. Josta was an animal
tour
back then.
That said guilty by association tour.
That's amazing.
Josta in the little van, like a weirdo, driving, going crazy. He was so fucking nuts.
How was that tour, Mitz?
That was insane. That was insane. Every single night,
love you,
there was a story that would be story of some other buddy.
People talk about those stories about me. We were fucking niggas.
And that's
this is a Vaughn and Kenny story.
What happened?
They said that when they used to come into the office back in the days before cell phones and email, when they would come into the office in the morning, they would flip a coin as to who had to press play on the answering machine.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
Okay,
listen to the phone calls from the tour managers, the promoters, the police department, whatever it was, nobody wanted to deal with it.
This was shit that we wouldn't have been able to get away with nowadays.
With cameras everywhere.
Camera.
We would have been Me Too by this nigga right here.
Say it again.
The Me Too movement got you good.
He wasn't on that tour.
Just him in general, nigga.
So we did that tour. Then we went to Japan. Then we did an H2O tour. We did our Europe Door Festival was that summer.
Why did I do a Door Festival?
Door Festival.
Well, tell people that story.
All right, but let me tell it. Let me get the whole thing.
You sure the album was before that?
No, the Door Festival was.
Puerto Rican Mike was with us.
Puerto Rican Mike
was the best singer in Scarlet.
So, Door Festival. In catering, there's this band called the Satanic Surfers.
Yep.
Swedish, like, pop punk band. And Izak brought over with him one of these carved wooden...
And it came from Israel.
Okay.
Right?
Israel. With a snake head on it, ornate, and whatever.
Cobra,
and these dudes are thinking it's funny to be like, hey, what's this this cane? Only old men have canes.
They were this is a shammy
being. And they kept on. And they kept on.
Well, you American. He goes, you American gangster? I said, three times. I said, all right. Yeah. I said, Mike, grab this, my cane. Then tell what happened.
And then they got beat down.
I broke
no
catering.
Yo, I fucked.
And the cane didn't make it out of the fray.
Yo, I just heard the quote of him standing over him going, "Hey, how you like the cane now? You like it now? What do you think of the cane? How do you like it? Only old men, huh?"
I broke his. Yo, I knocked that guy out so hard, his face knocked my. He was drowning his own food.
And I'll tell you a funny story. I ran into a guy about 4 years ago in Germany on tour, backstage, that we started talking. And he mentioned Satanic Surfers, and I was kind of like, oh, I was in Scarhead. And I expected after 20 fucking years, guy to be like, you know, oh, yeah, that was crazy. This guy was like, oh, I had to go to the hospital because of this. This was fucked up and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, all right, listen, dude.
That's the guy I fucked up.
I had to walk away because he was still upset.
So you get off these tours.
It was him. It was the guy.
He was in it. I don't know whether he was in the band or a roadie or whatever.
They all catch it.
So, Mitz, bring us back then through. So you guys get done with this touring, and then the plan comes together to do the album?
We had a deadline of August of 99 to go into the studio up in Utica, New York.
Oh, my God. Horrible fucking place.
It was Big Blue, which is where Sal was affiliated.
It's in New Jersey. It's in New Jersey.
No.
Listen,
no.
Don't you tell me where it's at.
This is the original one.
The Big Blue was in New Jersey, but they had a live room for recording up in Utica because Big Blue didn't have a live room at that point.
The masters almost went on fire. Yeah.
It was just in Tim Gillis's house was the original place. So to do live drums, they would go up to Utica. So we went up there in August of 99 to record this. I think when we went up there, we had about 3 songs, 4 songs.
Everything right there.
That's a famous Ezak method, by the way.
We had a couple of the old ones from the old EP we were going to redo. Yeah. Right. And then we had a couple of ideas. But we went in very, very unprepared.
Yo, we wrote shit on napkins, on cocaine. We were doing blow ecstasy.
I don't know where you were, but me, Ezak, and little Tony were up. I think we all took different trips up there, but... Yeah.
How about we talk about the trip with you and the Greyhound going up there, and I wake up and you're banging some fucking some black hood rat girl in the back.
I don't think I'm a Greyhound.
He's like,
I heard this story.
All right, go ahead.
I'm hanging out with some girls.
I swear eventually we're going to get to the track by track breakdown of this.
I'm on the thing. I got mad coke on me, mad ecstasy. I'm ready to party. So on the way there, some black girl, must have been 18 years old, is down jail. She's like, yo, what's up? He's like, what's up?
That's the way I like him.
Yeah. So he sat down and go, what's up, yo? And all of a sudden, I'm like, she's like, I think she's right next to me. I'm the three of us. Her legs are moving and he's fingering her. And I'm like, oh. So I try to see, he starts banging her, and this is during the daytime. And no one gives a fuck. That's how hard. I'll be like, watch it. I keep your eyes forward, everyone.
And not for nothing, I love taking public transportation because you never know what can happen.
Shout out to Greyhound. Greyhound. Scarhead, nigga. But yes, so this guy is disgusting. So,
why, thank you.
Was Sal always your guys' idea?
Sal's
for
my boy. So Sal wrote. Sal helped me write. I went to the studio, and when I did the song Snickers, I wrote the song Snickers. I wrote the bass line. Sal and Rusty helped me with the rest of the song. And that was the first time I worked with Sal doing the New York Harder stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
He was the engineer. Then I did some the Motorhead tribute thing for Sal also.
That was Sal. It was a Big Blue as well. That was later.
You did Crazy Eddie in between.
Crazy Eddie. But I mean, Sal was always I was like, yo, I love
his
production.
He was a go-to guy, yeah.
So he did it. So he did us before he did Thursday.
That's what's crazy is
go ahead first.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into breaking down the track. I'm going to have Lord Jewish play a couple seconds of...
Which one?
We're going to go in order and just talk a little bit about each. So let's just go Kings of Crime.
Play 10 seconds.
Before what?
Those tours. Yo, put your headphones on. You're talking to Mike.
Just talk and
check.
So... What else? See, what other memories do you have of this record and just recording? Oh. Especially hearing this riff. Oh. Like go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
All right, check this out. Kings of Crime, this song right here.
Kings Not Crying was written by our brother Sammy from Fresh Meadows.
Yep.
He did. Sammy, he's passed away. I love you, Sammy. I miss you. But Sammy Kesselvick for Fresh Meadows, KAC crew, wrote this fucking song. And I wrote the lyrics.
You had some of the riffs too, right?
Yeah, but basically, I was going to say, this song started with me. After White Trash, I was doing in the studio with Yas, who was kind of like the guy that brought me into the mix with Ezak and the rest of the DMS crew.
Yeah, Yas.
And rest in peace, unfortunately. So many of our friends have passed away. It's crazy. We're just doing this podcast and thinking about it. But
Rest in peace, Cornetta. Rest in peace, Mike Cornetta. Rest in peace.
That was the group.
And Kevin Red.
But it was Yas, Cornetta on drums.
Oh, that fucking
me on guitar. Sammy actually wasn't there, but he was maybe me and Sammy guitar.
So basically, you're next.
And
damn.
I wouldn't be surprised, but
sorry, Aaron. This happened.
This is my last podcast. I was going to say, my buddy Keith Thompson, I don't know if you knew that.
What's up, Keith Thompson?
Keith Thompson on bass. And it was just a fuck around thing. We just went into the studio bugging out.
Some queen shit right here.
Our boy Yash had some lyrics. So that's what KAC started. And when I linked up with Ezak and when we started doing DMS, I was like, yo, I got the shit here. Let's fuck with that, you know?
That riff is so great. But
Sammy wrote that.
That's a Sam, huh? I remember bringing it to the table.
I remember.
And the hook? And the hook was you?
I think the hook was me, and the main part was Sammy. And Yas also wrote some of the lyrics, too. Like, we took it. We came with what he had passed away, I think, at that point. So we took his scratch lyrics and turned that into KAC.
Was this always going to be the title of the album?
Yes.
Yeah. Always. Oh, that was always decided before we even went to the studio.
Tell me about that.
KAC is the Brotherhood crew of DMS in the 90s. And basically, Kings Not Crying. So we were on graffiti, we were killing shit.
Scarhead's
from MQ named the name Scarhead. He's the one.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. That's awesome.
Scarhead is dope. And he called Lash Scarhead.
He called Lash Scarhead,
and that's how we got Scarhead.
Lash is one of our best friends that he's been through a bunch of brain tumors
also,
and surgeries. So he's got scars also. The back, somewhere on
he's
the blind,
he's blind. He's blind.
Is the back of his head on the cover?
He's still partying harder than all of us. I love you, Lash. Lash,
love you, Lash.
Wait, he's listening to this shit right now, Lash. Don't worry, Lash. I'll tell the stories. Get the real stories about the motherfuckers.
Lash was on that tour with us in '98.
Lash, remember? Yeah, Lash. And Scammed Us, both. I love bringing them on tour back then because they steal everything.
Yeah.
And MQ, they were the worst thieves in the world.
Barbecues, steaks, everything.
Cocktail.
Yeah, like it was.
Mitz, what do you think about when you hear that song? We just hear that. What comes to mind?
That's how we set the show off.
Yeah, we would open that. We would open with that. I remember doing some playing that song when the record was about to come out. We were out with Vanilla Ice.
I saw you guys at that show. Shout out to Vanilla Ice.
It had a bounce to it. So the kids that didn't know us, I remember playing that song one of the first times we played it live, and there's all these like college frat boy kids out there pogoing to the song. I was like, wow, this has got a little something to it.
That photo I have of you, me, and Vanilla Ice is from that show.
I had Ajax on the tour.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Ajax came on that tour, yep. How do we not shout out Ajax yet?
Ajax, I love you, Ajax.
Ajax is on the record.
Yep.
Ajax was recording with me. I brought Ajax in the studio.
I want to say one thing. That to me, it's amazing that a little jam that went into, the studio back with the boys from my neighborhood, the connection that passed away, and years later,
here we are,
and it's a shout out, the fact that Ezak made the song, KAC was the our neighborhood crew, so I put the neighborhood crew on the map.
I put Fresh Meadows on the map. They're good people, but people like that's worldwide. Someone say your crew and you're from where you're from, that's a fucking big thing.
It gives me chills that most of those people unfortunately are not here.
They're dead.
To see it today.
Cornetta, Kevin Red.
Crazy.
Good dudes. Crazy motherfuckers, but good dudes.
Fucking a homeboy, the tall kid.
Sandy, Cornetta, Josh, they're all dead.
The one that got killed in Miami.
Toby,
yeah. Oh, man, that was fucked up, bro.
Yeah.
All that Chino.
It's amazing to me.
All Fresh Meadows guys are good guys. They're all dead right now.
And again, Ezak, the whole album and the song, you know, started with their crew name. So that it for him to connect that as a tribute is like, fuck, you know, that's really where it all started. Yeah.
Let's go to the next track. Dogs of War.
Boss of Mike's on this
one. Yeah, this
Tony.
Has...
Oh, Mike murdered his verse on this. Destroyed it. Hell yeah. Yeah, let's put that in there. Can you edit it?
Well, no. The thing is with the... Go ahead. Because with music, we can only have a couple of seconds of the clip before it gets...
Oh, yeah, but can you put that part in with the Mike's verse?
Wait, we're doing it right now. Listen. I just want to hear it. I want to hear the beginning.
Boss of Mike.
Boss of Mike right here.
Yeah, Mike! Listen, his voice cracks.
So, E, when you hear that, what do you think about? What's the first thing you think about?
I think about Boston Mike itching his balls. In a fucking thing. Like
scratching his feet in the
scratching
van.
Scratching his feet in his balls.
He was a big Chewbacca.
And he'd be like, on the window, look at her mouth. Yeah. She'll suck it. That bitch wants to suck
Boston
it.
Boston Mike, you could ride on a van ride where five of us would be just railing on him, breaking his balls, doing imitations of him.
He would not.
He didn't. He never even heard it. The dude would just be looking out the window. It never bothered him.
I would go out hard.
Never bothered him. The only thing that bothered him was the time you told him he couldn't drink beer before the show. And he flipped. But every other time, this guy would just sit there and not even hear it.
I used to live with the guy. He's so mad. He was so crazy. He was really crazy. And one of the funniest guys ever, man.
How about the time when he met some girl? They went for like Taco Bell.
Yeah.
And we were staying in a hotel. And the girl said, he said, oh, we're staying at this hotel. Come, we'll hang out. These girls were like, hey, we'll come meet you over there. He spent an hour getting pimped out. Doing the hair, spraying his musk that he used to have, his best shirt.
And I'm going to put a photo in of this so people can see what he looks like.
His best jewelry, his whole thing. And then he got ready, and he was standing at the driveway of the hotel for hours waiting for her to show up. Ready to go, and the poor girl never showed up.
I went in. I was like, I could be evil. I could be real evil sometimes. I'm sorry, guys.
I want to say one factual information about that one that we actually did that on a demo first.
No, we did for Carrie
Creep. Hardest.
Yes.
Carrie Creep.
But and it was on that compilation.
Yes, and Little Tony actually played drums.
It was just us three, me and Little Tony.
That was my first experience with Little Tony.
Hey, Tony killed the drums.
Tony killed it. And we bonded before.
Yeah.
You know, I knew Mitch because Mitch was Tony's guy.
And so, I got to say this. Let me sidebar real quick.
Shout out to Little Tony.
The way I got in all of this mess was Little Tony knew you guys.
Yeah.
And Little Tony knew that Crown of Thorns needed a guitar player.
I bumped into you.
I'm walking down the street, and I hadn't met him yet. And I'm walking down the street, like 9th Street or 10th Street in the East Village. And we pass each other, and I look, and I'm kind of like, oh, I think that's that guy that Tony's been telling me about. And I turn around, and I'm like, yo. And he turns around, like, yo, what's up? I'm like, oh, no. He thought I was beefing with him. And then
I don't know what this thing is.
It took me three times to finally get in a room with you guys, and then you heard what I could play, and then I was in the band.
That's great. Let's go to Rebirth, which is the next track.
Yeah.
Let's let this one go for a second. Yeah, I mean, I have so many memories of just this record driving. Shout out to Yvonne again. We listened to this record all the time when it came out, you know?
I wanted it so bad.
One note riff. Nothing more hardcore than that.
Go ahead, Mitz. Talk about that.
This was originally recorded as a Crown of Thorns song.
Yes, I did it with...
It was in the Chinese guy's studio. Rhodes? Me, you, Goat, yeah. and
that's it.
Yeah,
that's
it. And this was right after Yas died, right? This is about Yas.
So this. That, all right, check this out.
He's got a big theme on his record.
I'm gonna tell you something. Yas,
I had a poetry, right? He did a poem, and it was called Rebirth. So that part, there's a part of the first part of the fucking song is me talking about Yas. So I'm listen, talk about the drugs is killing him, and fucking whatever. So, but then I use the fast part and parts of the chorus for his poem that he wrote. So it's me and him. So it's a creepy song, but I'm talking about. Let me hear the beginning of the song again.
Need the lyrics.
Let me hear the lyrics. Wait, where are the lyrics? The lyrics in? Yeah. So cold. So check this out. Sorry guys, of course it's the biggest one. I go, my shiny star above so bright soon begins to fade and then be light. So another day comes and goes, reality hits, but life's so cold. So keep on trying, treading in icy water. The devil's snow accumulates. By the hour, your limbs are cramping, numbness sets in, the heart turns to ice, I just can't win. So that's what I wrote about him. It's like I'm talking to him, but it's him. Then he goes, shattered into rebirth, reflections of failure, all that shit. He writes, serenity, happiness, and love, releasing all the pain in my life. That's all Yas's poetry.
That's dope.
So I'm writing my boy who died. I just started doing drugs. Well, that's 96 I started doing drugs. I started doing drugs in 96. Not 96. When did Yas die?
But it was 98. '96, I think, yeah.
When Yas died, I never did cocaine, nothing. His wake, I did cocaine.
Wow!
So I've been doing
all downhill from there.
I've been doing cocaine since the night. Yeah,
I wanted to say something pretty deep.
How I did that was crazy. I was so hurt from my brother Yas was gone.
And that's kind of what I was going to say. That there was, for me personally, definitely the connection to my neighborhood crew, to Yas, the guys that brought me in the mix with Izak and the DMS crew. And then it was I didn't even realize it so much. Of course I did, but not until right now. Combination, like the combustion of all those tours and the drugs going on and losing our friends at that time, but still partying like motherfuckers. Like it was like an explosion of shit. And like the backdrop to this whole album, kind of the future of Scarhead, you know, in one way or another, was based on a lot of drugs, a lot of pain.
Beef.
I think the music kind of does reflect that.
It definitely reflects.
You know?
I mean, I grew up in Connecticut. I've plugged this a couple times, but coming from like an outsider, we used to take the train to see you guys play at like Coney Island High, Wetlands. And it was, I always talk about you in the Puerto Rican Day outfit parade because that's my memory of going to see, Scarhead. Yeah, like this dude.
What year is that? That was summer 98.
Yep.
That was the first show we played coming home from that insane tour.
Yep.
And it was the Puerto Rican Day parade.
Dude, it was
a matinee at Coney Island High.
This guy was like a larger than life figure.
That was when you first came up and played a couple songs with us. Because you hadn't been in there, and I remember Tony giving you the bass.
I do remember that. There's like footage of that somewhere right there.
I have pictures from that show.
That's awesome.
Can you add them into this?
Yeah. Send it to me. We'll drop everything.
Please.
Yeah,
of course I have that.
Like I said, we used to travel, and so it's cool to hear this whole aspect from a different angle. Because, I mean, again, we heard this record, and it was such a like mythology and just, you know, the whole thing. So I love it. So, quick shout out to thank you guys for sharing and being so open with our listeners to talk about the record. Let's get into the next track. This is one of my favorites. What? Snickers. I love this riff.
Boy. Yeah. That's the best one because I wrote it. That's all. Simple.
I mean, this song is catchy. This song is so catchy.
I wrote the song.
How catchy is this song? It's like,
I definitely stole it from somewhere. Yeah! It's Friday night.
When you hear your voice, when you hear yourself and you hear that song, what's the first thing you think of, E? Like, just, you hear...
Pussy and cocaine.
When we did the gang vocals for this record,
We had to turn all the lights off, and everybody had to wear. He was wearing sunglasses because we couldn't look at each other while we were singing these gang vocals. We started. Goat started cracking up, and then you started cracking up, and then we fucking lost it, laughing so fucking hard. So that we had to turn all the lights off, and he put sunglasses on so we couldn't see each other's faces. We were doing the gang vocals in the dark so we could keep it together.
That's crazy.
Black Mafia, Dark Metal Mafia, whatever the fuck.
You know, like when you're a little kid and you get the giggles with your friends and you can't stop.
Yo, the black metal guys can't do that.
they take themselves too seriously.
I am in the dark. Don't look at me.
And that's the anthem. That's what we play that one. That's a closer. Like
I wrote
years.
The anthem, nigga.
That's the anthem.
That's why I get paid the big bucks.
What about you two? What comes to mind when you hear that song? When you hear Snickers?
Oh, hell yeah. It's the anthem.
It's the anthem.
It was the fucking pirate anthem.
What was it like in Europe and Japan? I mean, I just imagine.
Europe,
like
the, yo, Germany.
What was the reaction like? What was the reaction like?
It took a bunch of years for people to really get it. Because originally when we first did the song, we were playing it in the middle of the set. And then eventually we realized, like, this is the big sing-along. This is what we're closing the show with. And we would do an extended intro to it. And we would do a big ending to it. We used to play Sweet Leaf at the end of it. And now since I've been out of the band, he's got them doing a whole big middle
part.
Do
Sex and Violence. Yeah, middle do, part, you know.
It's dope, man. It's the big closer.
That's awesome.
It's just like that song. I always think, like, if it was song in this album, the song would picture me the best. I mean, people describe Snickers as definitely.
I would say so too.
There's one quintessential Scarhead song. It's that one.
It's that one.
I would say so too.
Let's get into the next one. The next one is TCOB, which has the best intro. I want to know.
John Joseph.
Yeah, I want to.
From the Cro-Mags.
I want to talk about the intro.
I got a lot to talk about this.
Song. And also Craig Satari.
And shout out Craig.
Craig, your hands on this. My brother.
That's the hardest intro ever.
TCOB, motherfucker. Blood clot. My man, John Joseph. I love you, John Joseph.
That's a mid start.
That's a vegan shit right there.
All right, Mitz.
Vegan beef.
Mitz, start this one off. Right. When you hear TCOB.
First of all, writing for this record, I forgot to mention, we came out to my house for like a weekend, and we had me, Little Tony, and Goat went through three songs.
Yeah.
And it was this song, it was Society Sucker,
Horrible.
And
horrible.
But I already talked about that too.
Yo,
don't skip ahead. Don't skip ahead.
Society Sucker.
Go ahead, Mitz.
And I'll think of it in a little bit, the other one. But, this song was, you were calling it Battle of the Bands, because it had so, at the time when we played
everybody liked it.
But it had a lot of, it did have Battle a lot of riffs, and it needed some producing.
Yeah.
And we, instead of being like a normal band and doing those changes before you record it, those changes happened in editing after.
Yes.
And so there is some big edits in this song, that if you have a good ear, you can hear them.
Yeah.
But in the end,
before Pro Tools,
in the end, it came out great. This is mostly Little Tony's riffs. I got a couple of riffs in there, and me, Tony, and Goat arranged it together.
All right.
So
I got another thing.
Go ahead.
I got another thing. When John did this, John hadn't done anything
aggressive
in quite a while. He'd been doing like Both Worlds and all that other stuff. So this is the first time that motherfucker was singing aggressively. I had fucking goosebumps the first time I heard his track. I was like, holy shit.
That goes perfectly into this question I have.
It's the best thing he ever sang since the Cro-Mags.
Oh, shit.
Hell fucking yeah.
So John Joseph, he killed it. And I love you, John. Thank you so much. He came for free. All these people, we didn't pay nobody. We had no budget. All these people came down. He's my boys. That's it.
I was just going to ask you, because there's some amazing guest spots on this record.
There is.
It's like literally like a who's who of New York.
Destroyed.
Right?
Good point.
So, was that something that was planned originally, or did it come together the record? One of you guys tell me a little bit about how does that come into play?
It comes to plan when I don't want to have, I'm running out of lyrics, so I need someone else come in and write their lyrics. I don't want to sing in a second.
How do you get John Joseph in?
My boy, my friend. I've been a fan.
But you know what's cool is that I think John sang shit on this that he couldn't do in any other band.
No.
That's what he's talking about.
I mean, it's so heavy.
John would never
write
that. He's Mr. Positive and Harry Krishna.
He's talking to Farley. That's what he's doing.
But he would never write. He would never write lyrics like that nowadays. So that's the most aggressive thing that he's done since Age of Quarrel.
Yeah, go get him, John.
Can I say something quick?
Yeah.
That it's pretty funny that coming from a different world to like fucking hip hop and metal. I was a metalhead, like hip hop kid and basketball.
You're
and shit.
A funk guy, bro.
So when I came into this, I didn't know who half these. I didn't know who John. You know, I knew about the Cro-Mags and stuff, but I didn't really know all these special guests that were coming down to be a part of.
You knew more than Goat did.
That's a great element about this band, Aaron. Is that we had a lot of people like you, Scam. We had a lot of people
it's
in
like
our crew
pot,
that weren't even hardcore dudes.
They had nothing to do.
But because they were our boys,
Scam
was they got brought
Scam
in.
Now he's singing with me. We're going to talk about that. Now he's just go ahead.
I want to say one more quick thing. As an artist, too, I've learned doing hip-hop, I've learned from Ezak and so many people I've been blessed to work with over the years.
Tell me more about it. One of the things I've learned
is exactly that, to use other people and to incorporate other artists in your shit. And there's no harm in that. You know, it's build the shit up, make it better, bring other people in and fucking hype the
a
shit up.
A lot of people
up.
Don't like that.
Yeah, well, I love it.
And just to go back to what Mitz was saying, again, me from an outsider as a fan, a younger kid growing up and listening to this record, I'm always going to point to Yvonne because we listened to this record so much, but it was just such an amazing experience. Hearing John Joseph on this recording was so hard and heavy and just like Craig on there. And it was, again, because there was no internet really. Like, you know, this was like, you know, you'd spend time reading a thank you list of old records, and then all of a sudden this record comes out and it's got like every person you've ever seen their name in it. No, I'm serious. Think about that, right?
It's fun for the artist and fun for the consumer
artwork,
too.
I did all the artwork. I went to Chicago when it was before computer shit. And it was like it was fucking crazy.
Craig's part on this song is awesome.
I love Craig's part.
He has such a unique voice and like it's cool to get a guy. It's cool to get a guy from another band who's not the singer.
Right.
He's not the singer. He's the bass player.
Right.
But he's got that awesome voice, and I love he's got how many Sick of It All tracks over the years. He does one every now and again, but he's got a great voice.
It's awesome.
I produced an Italian band years ago, and when I got there, this Strength Approach from Rome.
Oh, I know the guys.
And great guys, but when we were first talking about what they wanted to do, they had this list of who they wanted. We want to get Lou from Sick of It All, and we want to get Freddie, and we want to get Ezek. And I was like, guys, you can't do a record like that. It's been done. You can't have a million guest vocals. It's going to look like you're trying to kiss.
Yeah.
Up. But they were like, but I was like, how about Craig? Because they knew Craig. And because of the what he did on this song, that was what popped into my head. And the only guest vocal they ended up using was Craig.
That's
awesome. And Craig killed it for
that. Yeah, I love Craig's voice. Let's get into the next track, Hardcore.
Oh. The EP sounds better.
I like the
so
EP.
So this was originally. Go ahead, talk about that.
The EP is way fucking harder.
What made you re-record? Talk about that a little bit.
Because we didn't have enough songs.
Yeah,
next question.
Next question. Yeah. Next question.
Let's go to the next track. We'll go right into the next.
That was me and Mike DeJohn.
Why did you have the desire to re-record that? Was it because of the new attitude of the band and the ambiance of the new record?
We didn't have enough fucking songs.
No, that's right, cool.
And it was one of the good ones from
yeah,
the
no,
all right,
cool.
Next one, BQE.
Now this one is great. The intro.
Same thing, me Sal.
Play the intro on this, hold on, because the intro is one of the heavy, it's just so
but this
ignorant.
And Jorge's on this three.
This is
Marauder.
The most so ignorant. I love it.
Yo, check this out. Wait, I found my man George from El Nino. I'm representing Scarhead. This is our little collaboration that we have. From Jackson Heights, Williamsburg, to all of the motherfucking world. Niggas know who we are. And if they don't, they better fucking recognize. Let's punch this shit out, niggas. Latino power.
Latino power. This is hard, right?
Oi.
Yo, no one says Latino power. The hardcore, no one says Latino power.
Yeah. Tell me about this track, E.
Come on.
Tell me about the intro specifically.
Sal wrote this, right? What did it say over there?
Tell me specifically about the intro, though. Yes, music by Sal Villanova.
Yeah, Sal. And I go, he's Sal. So, what? This music is just straight up like Queens and Brooklyn. BQE is an expressway. What's going on back there?
Tell me about the intro, though. How does that come together? How's the idea for that come together?
Is this asking for Wi-Fi? Yeah.
No, can you turn the air conditioning up, please?
That's like 95 in here.
It's a reoccurring theme on Diablo's. I tried to started, be professional about it.
Peter Green.
One. Yeah, shout
Peter
out Peter Green.
I'll take shout out Peter Green.
This guy's wearing a sweatshirt. Green. Jesus Christ.
All right.
That's how cool I am, nigga.
I just want to go back. Cool. How does the intro come together right. for this song?
So me and Jorge, were like, you know, the song is just like, we got to get some ignorant shit. So we got two Puerto Ricans all fucked up. We were coked up, drunk, and we did it. Then all I have to say, that song is dope. Shout out to Jorge. I know we don't talk that much. Shit happens.
He killed the shit.
Shout out to Sal.
Sal, I love you, Sal, brother.
We tried to get Sal to come on, but I literally could not find him. I reached out to a couple of friends. So hopefully we'd love to have
probably
him on to,
money. Probably
for,
money.
For part two to talk about the behind-the-scenes part. So let's get into the next song, which is Society Sucker, which is written by Mitch.
Now I got something to say about this.
The worst fucking song.
Yeah, like that. Stop. Great way to stop it.
Listen, Mark Ryan, my boy from Superchunks, listen.
Yeah, love him?
Listen.
Horrible. Horrible.
Stop.
Horrible.
Go ahead. Let me. Can I tell you?
Horrible.
Can't just tell you. Can't tell you something? Stop. Mark Ryan came down. And Supercharge hasn't done anything for years. I said, come hang out with you. We got so coked up and he got so drunk, I had to hold him. Were you there when we did the vocals?
Is this Society Sucker? What yeah. is this? It is, yeah?
Yeah.
Remember, listen.
Society Mitch, Sucker.
Go ahead.
Were you there when we recorded the vocals?
Yes.
I had to hold him how drunk he
yes.
was? Yes. That was fucking
I was
crazy.
Like, this guy used to be in a band. I love the guy. Listen, yeah. Mark, if you're listening. Great dude.
No, that's what you
Super Touch was great.
But
this was horrendous. I wrote this song. This was horrible.
It's a horrible song.
It's not a horrible
song.
The riffs
sucks.
Are fine.
The song sucks, bro.
The riffs are fine.
The song sucks.
The riffs
balls.
Are fine.
No one knows what the song is. That's
the
it.
Riffs are fine.
A matter of fact,
the vocals on it. The only guy who puts a good verse on that is Boston Mike.
Bye bye. Next one.
Has ruined my fucking song.
Okay.
That song was the worst song
all right.
ever. No one cares about
all
it.
All right, fine.
You name one person has that song in their playlist.
When we played those three songs we wrote in my basement, that was the one you said I liked the most.
Yeah, they all three.
Because there weren't any vocals on it yet.
That's not that much, nigga. But, but right now,
I'm making my own podcast about Society Sucker.
Okay.
I'm going to defend. It's going to be like a court of law.
Call it Society Sucker.
I'm going to defend myself in that.
All right, let's.
Can I say one thing before
set,
Aaron? Yeah. Just since it's going in that direction, I want to say that you know, it took me a long time to like Mitch when we first were in the band.
Stop it right now.
What?
We hated Mitch.
No, I don't hate him,
when we first came, he annoyed us. Tell the truth.
I was going to
say the truth. The first truth.
I'm trying to tell the truth. That
No. Tell us. You bothered us a lot.
But listen.
He knows. Mitch, you know that when you first toured, it was like a little.
Mitch was new to it. He was. A young person like we had all been through before.
Well, listen, so if your first tour is with Jesus, that probably would be the
exactly.
same way.
That's what I kind of wanted to say.
Back
though,
it up
that.
For a second.
from first playing with Mitch.
Mitch did some crazy, like, he didn't have the etiquette of tour and how it would go down.
So that's what happened.
So he didn't know, so he did what he wanted to do. But
my first tour, I got thrown into the fire.
Yeah.
Well, I will
seven weeks on the pirate tour. Where
this
is the tour I talked about, and I went the first 2 weeks.
He went crazy on pills
on 1,000.
But I was gonna say I thought that was gonna break him, and if that didn't break him,
we were trying to break that.
And honestly, from
me and Hoya, we're like, yeah,
it's like training a fucking someone like in a fucking
ninja.
Afghanistan war, like
ninja.
Yeah. And then what did he do? He went on to play with Mad Ball. He went on to produce like.
You think he's proud of Mad Ball?
I'll say that we did my band The Distance did Europe with Mitz, and Mitz was one of the first dudes to come over and look out for us and watch us every night. So you know what? He was awesome on stage.
I love Mitz. I love Mitz is my brother. I love him. But that first tour, he, you know, we destroyed him because he was, oh my God. It was like, I want to kill him and Lil Tony. It was fucking crazy.
I snapped. I went too hard on the first 2 weeks. And
it happens to all of us.
And then I had to, that's the tour I learned how to pace myself.
Yeah.
You can't go full, you have to take a night.
You don't have to
survive and adapt. Survive and adapt.
Yeah. You know what? Mitch been through the worst time at Scarhead. People thought the first one, that was horrible. No, it was the Porg and Mike fucking times. That was
all those times.
All those things.
Everything. Listen, we roughed it.
Yeah.
That made me appreciate everything down the road.
Me too.
Whenever Madball was in a bus or whenever we were, you know, playing shows where we had, you know, nice backstage and hotel rooms, whatever, that always made me appreciate it.
Me too.
Because I came from that where we were in a fucking van with 11 dudes and a dog. Yeah. And we were getting, if we were lucky, we were getting one hotel room a night.
And we all, if we're in the van and this bitch ain't fucked, we all fucking that bitch in the van. That's how it is. That's how it is.
I just want to say that as a guy,
no woman in the van. That's the thing. No woman coming to the show unless she's sucking all our dicks in the van.
That honestly, like, because me and Mitch, I wouldn't say we clashed, but I was a good guy. But I was caught up a little bit in, like, you know, the drugs and whores and
Dominican whores
and the mayhem of everything. So years later, I just want to say that, like, you know, I'm glad.
No, it's
good to be able to get to a point with you like that where I look at myself as kind of a dick. That's one of the few times where I should, like, you know, should have been there as a buddy for you to help you.
That's cool.
For the most part,
everybody was.
We cool, but once it got to like a van, Voltron, we'd be like fucking ass. You know,
someone's catching it.
Someone's catching it.
Cracking the armor,
everybody's going in. Let's go into.
Vinny Stigma was the first one that tried to break me. Remember?
There's a topic that could get
the last two.
Get into where it all got learned.
Let's go into "I Won't Change," which actually brings it into this because it has Freddie and
the guy from the band.
The engineer. That's right. The engineer sang on this. It's some fucking weak ass.
What are you doing?
I don't know where that guy is now. Who knows that guy?
Wait.
He wore the overalls and the weird bleached fucking jeans.
Yeah, but he was
it's a nice guy, but I don't
he
like
it. He sings in a Jersey band, The Fiends or something like
that. Okay, cool. Nice guy.
Horrible vocal part.
Oh, my God.
He just destroyed an entire song I wrote. I can pick on this guy's vocal.
Now I remember why we used to clash back then.
Dead Kennedys, nigga.
Oh, yeah.
You want to punk rock?
Dead Kennedys.
What? Freddie Kane. My brother, Freddie Madball.
Freddie, shout out, Freddie.
Kill that shit. I wrote Madball's fucking thing. You know, I wrote Madball's thing that day, I think.
His lyrics?
Yeah, his lyrics. And we were back and forth. And Freddie's great writing lyrics.
And Goat wrote this song. This was one of the ones where it was like, we were getting down to the end, and we're like, yo, still need more songs. And you guys went down to that.
Yeah, I went down there, and of course, the man writes the dopest shit.
You and Goat wrote that.
What's the lot? Give us the like inside on the songwriting.
So when me and Goat, it was probably like, I hate you, you hate me, let's just get this done. So that's probably. Shout out to Goat.
Shout out to Goat.
Shout out to Dimmy.
He's also my connection to this band in a way, too.
Goat was a metalhead dude that came in and.
We went to junior high school.
Yeah, he adopted into the New York hardcore. Yeah, that's right. Osmosis is way in.
He was part of our metal white trash group.
Was
that
Osmosis?
That's the word. That's what you're looking for.
Yes, that is right. Osmosis. Yo, that's great.
Let's get into the next one, which
Osmosis,
which is called the
Way by Osmosis.
The big payback.
That's my nigga.
Oh, this is This is another one of those songs.
This is another Mitch one, yeah.
This was the third one that we wrote at my house. It's a great song.
What the fuck? As hard as
England. This came out good.
This is the guy that says that fucking Sammy Hagar is better than David Lee Roth. All right, that's what I'm dealing with.
Oh, now I remember why I didn't like him.
Yeah. Right? How the fuck is that? How the fuck is that?
just to push buttons.
So these are songs that we wrote for the guy that robbed us on our first tour.
Yeah, let's not even mention
Mr. Bean. Mr. Bean.
He doesn't deserve our fucking being shouted out on the podcast.
So, I was going to say his name, but I'm going to catch you, nigga.
Well, Cornetta fucked up.
Cornetta and Kevin Red rest both of their souls. Stabbed him in the they took a scissors and they stabbed his whole up thing. Had him, you know,
we had a tour manager on that first tour that I guess had a gambling issue.
Whatever, listen, I can say whatever I was saying.
At
right?
The end of the tour, we all got home and expected like there was going to be some money to cut up, and there was nothing.
They stole
life. Which for Scarhead was a big deal. We were all fucking living off peanuts.
So the guy, he got caught. So Steve Reddy from Eagle Vision Records went in there. He owes him like $2,000, right? $3,000. Punched him, knocked him out.
And anyone in my area will remember buying vinyl from him because he was one of the things he was stealing like the colored vinyl from Equal Vision.
Equal Vision Records,
isn't that what was happening?
No,
not Steve Reddy.
No, the dude. Oh, kid, was stealing from Equal Vision. They were stealing like colored vinyl or something, right?
Where did that guy come from?
Who? So listen. They gave him to us.
Yes,
the Equal Vision gave him. They, the record company Equal Vision gave it to us. So, but I'm trying to tell you this. I basically went down there with two of my people, Mike Cornetta and Kevin Red, Fresh Metal's fucking henchmen, and we went in there, and I said, I did some fucking gangster shit. I walked in, and I can talk now because I'm talking. Both my boys are dead. So I was just like, what's up? And I was like see, so we got out of them, and they stole. We beat it out of them. They stole how much it was and everything. Then we took the, I was like, yo, I was like, because the guy was, I couldn't, I didn't want to hit him because I don't know why I still had to like him. But so I was like, fuck it. I'll just let my people do what they do. So we held him down. we stabbed his whole upper, we took the scissors and stabbed, held his head back and stabbed the top of his roof. So he was like, oh, good. Then Cornetta did a flying roundhouse kick in this nigga's face and broke his jaw. Oof. Then a few little hair slaps up and we still didn't get our money. We got
somehow didn't get any money out of him.
I don't know what the fuck.
I guess we really
did everything we're supposed to do.
But yeah, then, yo, I said if I'm not getting you the $4,000, then you know we do $5,000 worth of doctor bills and probably more than that.
Bob,
nobody knows anything about him. I heard he's dead.
Bob, on that subject,
I had nothing to do with that.
That's all. Everything I just said
is a fictitious story.
I just want to say that
dramatization.
You know, working with Ezak for years and like you know. Obviously, he's got a reputation of, you know...
Of what? Being a good-looking guy?
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
A great artist? a great producer?
No, I was saying kicking niggas' asses. That's where I was going with it, actually.
Tell him about that.
We're going to go.
Right now.
But I was going to say...
What happened when you saw Mitz and Lil Tony... Fighting
all right, let's go there. Because I was gonna say, truth is that this nigga, you know, has a heart of gold, and unless you disrespect it across like that, he'll give you the shirt off his back.
Yeah, he's always the best.
It's usually well deserved when a beat that happens. That being said, Cincinnati, Ohio, 19. My memory's not as good as fucking Mitch's. But
don't you tell this? I have to tell this story.
Let me tell it. You start it, and then I'll tell it from my angle.
Tell him the Guar story.
A guy's yelling at us on stage. I think it's Guar and Misfits.
Wait a minute. No, nothing better than this.
So we were getting
heckled. And after we finished our set, it was these two kids in the front row. After we finished our set, I hopped down into the barrier and I was rational with these kids. I was like, listen, I don't care if you don't have to like our band. Well, why can't you just be respectful or wait in the back or whatever? And the
fuck
one
that
kid
talking
was,
shit.
The kid was like, fuck you. And I fucking went to mush him, and one of his friends like sucker punched me. So I caught a shot, and then security came, and I'm like, fuck,
right fuck me.
Whatever. So I got back up on stage. Now I got to break my gear down while I'm getting ridiculed more and more by these guys. So sure enough, at the end of the show, we wait, and I grab little Tony. I'm like, yo, let's go look for these fucking guys.
See what
and this venue, there's only one way out. Everybody's got to come up these stairs and go out the back. Sure enough, here they come, and they got their Guar blood all over them, and they're all happy, like, yo, Guar was sick, dude, and there they are, and I'm standing there waiting, and he comes with us, and, you know, I see the kid, and boom, 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 we start laying into him. Little Tony's underneath me, giving him the body shots. I'm hitting him over the top. And behind me, I feel something, some kind of commotion. And I turn around, and there's this big white trash farmer tan wife beater white boy with the fucking work boots. He's just laying on the ground with the jackpots going in his eyes. His eyes are rolled back into his head. Eyes are rolled back into his head. And I look, and E is standing over the kid, having just laid him out. And he looks at me and goes, no, go ahead. I got it. So, this kid had come up behind me and seen this, and maybe he knew these guys, and he came to come from behind me, and he was just governing over the fight. There wasn't even a fight. He was just making sure everything was cool, and before this kid tried to sucker me, he dropped him.
All right, so let me
thank you. Yo. Thank you.
So me and Isaac are talking on the side. Like, Mitch is telling us, let's go. We're fucking trying to kick it to some bitches. And Mitch is like, yo, I'm going to fuck this kid up. So Isaac's like, all right, fucking, then go handle your fucking business. He's like, we'll keep an eye out. Just let him, he's pushing, like, all right, go handle it on your own. So we're looking at fucking, Mitch has got the upper, Tony's on the
two level.
Half size, yeah, two level beating. And they don't know that they're about to get fucking snuffed from behind by this big. So we're like, oh shit. We start fucking running. This guy, before I could even make it two steps, this guy had this fucking, like, 6'5", fucking cock diesel bouncer yoked up on the floor, like you said, the jackpot spinning. And that was the first time I really saw Isaac, like, fuckers, like, ah, shit, man. We've come to blows once or twice, but I'm like, ah, fuck, man. I don't really want to fucking have to fight fucking this dude. I'm a lover, not a fighter. But
this guy went crazy, but it had to do him. And he went nuts.
What happened?
I want to talk about it.
No, okay.
Yeah, it's all right. You can talk about it. Yeah.
No.
He was grabbing biker's girlfriend's pussy in Florida.
All right.
Think about a major biker gang, and your boy's trying to put some. Is he going to get killed or beat him up?
They try to fucking carry me out, and I cause a ruckus. Truth be told, I was fucking, three sheets to the wind. I didn't even know what was going on. So then we squared up. He's like, I'm going to fucking hit you if you don't.
I didn't swing.
I said,
let me hit my friend.
I got ready.
You were like, come on. And I gave you a love tap. And you fell down?
I didn't fall down. You didn't get me down, Rocky. You never got me down.
You're on the floor, and Stan goes up to you, and you're like.
Maybe I was. I don't even know.
You were knocked out. And Stan goes up to you, and you go.
I spun. I didn't go down.
We got a videotape. You're like, yo, what happened? He goes, Scam's like, yo, he knocked you out. He goes, he didn't knock me out. I'm wide awake. Where is he? And we're like, oh, man. I said, yo, and you were like, I'm going to tell your mom. He said, you're drunk. You're like, I'm telling your mom, quitting. Puerto Rican might do the same thing. I'm going to tell your mom.
Let's get into the next track. Going back to Cali. This one's got Jimmy G on it.
Oh, Jimmy Gestapo is my favorite front man ever, one of the most talented, most funniest person ever. I went to junior high school with Jimmy's brother John. And I used to steal his weed.
Manila envelope.
This is Aaron's song.
This is Aaron's song.
I have a confession to make about this one.
Let's hear it for a second, and then I want Aaron to
roll. Let it roll
for a minute. Tell me.
Let's talk.
Talk over.
That intro reggae, that one was different, but it's the breakdown reggae part in the middle. That's a jam I used to do with a guy in, like, summer camp when we were, like, 13, 14 years old.
Joy Day Camp?
Not a Joy Day Camp. We also went to Joy Day Camp together.
We went to Joy Day Camp. It's a Jewish day camp, Casino Park.
Before we knew each other.
Casino, how crazy is that in the 80s?
It was a Jewish sleepaway camp. My parents used to send me away.
Oh, man.
Used to get me and my brother out of
there. Casino.
And it was like upstate and shit, like for Port Jervis.
It would go back and forth, Casino from there. Oh, Joy Day Camp.
I learned a lot of music up there. Me and I grew up with my brother, God rest his soul, playing music in the house. And, he brought me into the metal scene and
Joy
shit.
Day Camp.
And jamming with some of those dudes, that they were all into different shit. So the guy got me into reggae. So that riff I used to jam on with, I think I stole this dude's riff.
So what? Who cares?
He wants his millions. But another story.
Give him Gold's address.
Well, another quick one is that on the way to that, we brought, that's the part, yeah.
Yeah.
We brought Jimmy in to do the vocals.
Why are
we going back to California?
Shout out Jimmy G.
A porn star. We talked to
Jimmy's
Jasmine,
surgery.
Jasmine St. Clair. Jasmine St. Clair. She got this, and I gave it to her. A lot of porn stars loved Scarhead. We were actually in a porn. We were in a porn with Jessica Darling. Shout out to Jessica Darling.
That's That's awesome.
I thought that was going to be the big one, by the way, on the album. I was like, oh, this is the killer.
No, you thought wrong. I thought that was going to be the big one. That was your ticket.
When Jimmy Gestapo killed that, me and Jimmy sang song, that was my dream.
We never fucking played
Let's
that
go
song.
Crazy Eddie's.
What was that?
What's that?
We never played that song.
Crazy Eddie.
This was part of the B-side of the
My
Rebirth.
Voice.
Rebirth, yeah. Crazy Eddie.
On Triple Crown,
the
right?
The Crown of Thorns.
No, I did this like Black Sabbath.
Right. We've been up Black Sabbath.
I got to tell you this one. Goat made me come over his house to write some shit. This is before we did it, the one-off with whatever it is before. Before the like full band setup and a tour. So
it's a Chinese guy, right?
Yeah, so the Chinese guy's studio in Chinatown.
This is the voice, the vocals. The original, the voice crazy. So we need another filler song. Can we get it over?
Exactly.
Exactly.
This was a Crown of Thorns song. It was released as Crown of Thorns.
And this is my first experience writing for Scarhead or writing anything with D-Zack.
How cool was it?
And it was awesome. Fucking Goat. I got to give Goat credit. He was like just fucking, because I didn't know, like, you know, again, I didn't come from this world. So I was like, all right, well, let me take a shot at what's in my head. Like you said, it kind of came from like a Black Sabbath metal-y background, if you know, more than that. But now, after that experience, those straight up punk rock riffs are like, you know, what I love doing makes me happy.
You know what? Let me say something. Is that a big part of New York hardcore? This is an overall topic. A big part of New York hardcore in the early generations, and even in this, is that the musicians that were in these bands didn't even know the fucking genre.
Right.
You had like Token Entry, which is a bunch of Queens dudes playing that had, I mean, Ernie was a punk rock guy, but they had other
Ernie's
guys in the band.
Ernie's a great musician.
Ernie's a punk rock guy, but he also had guitar players that were like, they were Led Zeppelin guys.
Yeah.
There was guys in New York hardcore bands that knew nothing about the genre, and it was good. I mean, you think that's not a bad thing. They were bringing in elements of other music that made it unique. Nowadays, hardcore bands all grew up listening to hardcore.
Right.
So, you know, I think you bring a guy into a band that has from another background, now you're coming in. Now that's where the magic happens.
Yeah, you're so right.
But Aaron coming in with us, having no idea of the genre. Goat was a metal guy, but Goat's metal is like, he's like a fog hat kind of guy.
Saxon?
Or Saxon, or, you know, Maiden. And
Saxon, wax on, Saxon.
So, like, Goat wasn't a hardcore scene dude. No. He was a rock musician. He plays like a rock drummer.
He definitely looks like one, too.
And it's not that different, the song ideas with Isaac, like writing, but, you know, it's party shit. So that's what I can relate to. That's where I came from with White Trash, like fucking background of Motley Crue.
Scarhead was fun. It was like Motley Crue dirt.
Scarhead was like a dirtier Motley Crue. What's the movie, the fucking Joe Dirt or whatever? Yeah. Fucking
Joe Dirt.
The
movie Joe Dirt. Motley Crue, yeah. Love it.
That fucking, we partied 10 times as fuck. I don't want to fuck.
That is true.
Let's go to the next one, Scarred Love. Anybody? Which was one of my.
I wrote that.
This is what one
me
of the
and
first.
Me Toby Morse.
Another one that was redone.
Shout out to Toby. One of my
favorites. So was.
Me Toby wrote this. That's it.
Can I just ask, was Toby always going to be the vocal, the melodic voice?
I think he was, and he got scared.
What do you mean?
Because our lives were going, like, we were both scared. I was going to Crown Thorns, you think H2O.
Everybody's scared of fucking this thing. You want to devote your life with fucking this thing? You better get fucking strapped on for the ride.
Yeah, listen, Toby got married, and I wouldn't want to bring Toby into this.
No.
They still took us on tour.
Oh, that's a story
September
over there.
September in 99, we did the second full
Tom
Coast Morse. To Coast we did was with
Todd
H2O.
Friend.
With Scarhead, H2O Scarhead. We did
right
after we finished recording this record, we went out with H2O. And they were terrified. You could tell that they must have, every night they were
remember I broke that guy's head with in Cleveland with the pitcher? Blah, broke that. You know, he said, call him a nigga. Call him a nigga. Von Lewis. I said, what? Blah, broke his whole shit. I fucked him up.
Damn.
Yeah, I fucked that nigga with a
pitcher. The H2O tour was the first San Francisco story of us finishing our set. All
right.
So. Not the second one. Not the one, but the first one. No, I'll let the people fill the blank in.
Yeah.
We finished our set, and somebody, some kid out of the crowd grabs the mic. He's like, yo, we're Scarhead. Thank you. Good night. Some kid grabs the mic before they put the house music on. He's like, get back up on stage and play another fucking song, bitch. And he looks around and he looks at all our San Francisco people. He's like, yo, anybody know this guy? And nobody fucking knew him. And then. Fill in the blank.
I beat him. I went right outside.
I ran outside. It's like a video game.
What happened now?
It'd be on security. I'd be like, exactly, yeah. Let's go to.
Be on TMZ.
We got two more tracks before we wrap up. Let's go to Yaz.
Oh, shit. Oh, the song's about.
I got a great chubby fresh story.
This song's called Yas. I call it Yas because of me.
You're a scumbag.
You're a scumbag. But Yas, I always thought, put my boy's initials Yas, my boy from KC. So, but he's not the scumbag. Scumbag. I'm dissing Nikki X, who stole a whole bunch of he pulled some crackhead shit. He on a Scar tour, he took my ex girlfriend's house. He went to this girl and he stole like $150,000 worth of rings.
Wow!
And sold it for fucking $50 worth of crack. And him, Rat Bones, all these guys smoked crack the next day. So I found out. Crown Thorns played a show, and I said, "Oh, remember?" I found out. He tried rapping on rap. Goes, who's Nikki X? I beat the piss out. I broke this guy's head.
Damn.
So Nikki X, then this homeboy, he goes to Crown Thorns, played with Suicidal Tendencies. He goes to in Irving Plaza. He grabs them. He goes, I'm Crown Thorns. He grabs the money and leaves.
No.
Yo, so, yes.
Yeah, I never knew that.
I didn't know that.
So, yeah, so I'm telling the world.
I never heard that part.
So, yeah, no one knows about that. That's what I'm saying.
I never heard that.
And the guy got mad at me. He's like, I didn't want to say, he hit me up. He goes, he had a broken neck. He's like, why don't you be cool? I see you're still the same. I said, nigga, you robbed me. Then you fucking, then you called the concert. So me and Scam call him at, what's the place?
Z-Bar.
I broke his fucking whole head open again.
So
I broke his head open again. He stole the money. And so I'm in a Z-Bar. He comes in with the cops.
That's insane.
And they ratch me out. So fucking be throwing the nigga rat on me. So I say, I'm going to catch you again, nigga. Now you're really going to get it. So
I never knew all that.
But what happened, he jumps on a Hatebreed show in North Carolina. He breaks his neck. So that's how karma works.
Wow.
So now now he tends to be talking to me. What's up? I was like, yo, bro. Wherever you, he tried to say, yo, you still the fucking same. I was like, yo, bro, I'll break your neck again. You know what I mean? So I was like, chill the fuck out. So I hope he cleaned his life up because I saw him a few times. I saw him skateboarding down MUA. It looked like the dude from Superman, the bad guy.
Yeah. He looks like one of the three.
General Zod.
General Zod and Nine.
He couldn't move his neck. He skateboarded. I can't do anything worse to this guy. He's a dope head. Yeah. I can't do anything
life
worse to
him. Life gets him way worse than you ever got.
Karma.
All right, so this is the last track on the record.
On that note, the last track.
Drugs, Money, and Sex, which is one of the most ignorant. Okay, wait. You and Lou.
Oh, and Aaron gets a verse.
Yeah. It's all about the. Yo, you wrote this.
Yeah. Yeah,
Aaron's song.
Aaron wrote this.
I got a riff.
Yes. Yeah. And go ahead. I want Mitz to talk about this one. Go ahead.
This was another one of those
is
ones.
Is this the girls?
There's a porn sample.
We were running out of time, and this was another one that was written down in the lobby of that studio.
Oh, but we did another place. The girls in the background. Remember?
They were outside that Utica when we were up in Utica.
Yeah, somebody, yeah.
First of all, this studio that we did this at was like a fucking compound in the middle of the city. But when you think of the middle of a city, like here, people. No, Utica is one of those abandoned ghost town cities.
There's a Puerto Rican bodega, and that's it.
Nobody there. Yeah. You walk out on the street in the middle of the day, you don't see a soul. Buildings abandoned everywhere. I'm sorry if anybody lives in Utica, but
Utica
dead end town.
Sucks.
It was a dead end town.
It was this fucking horrible. Utica was like Syracuse away from the college.
Yeah.
Part.
It was Syracuse with nothing that yes. Syracuse has. Maybe it's good now.
You guys like Pittsburgh mixed with fucking Detroit.
With Poughkeepsie.
Poughkeepsie. Utica's way more vast than the Poughkeepsie.
How it's probably cool now. It's probably hip. They got fucking like hipster district.
I heard they had the U5, the Utica 5 line.
U5.
Bus. U5 comes out.
I remember walking Ajax during those sessions and having to pick him up on half the fucking sidewalks because there was broken glass everywhere. I'd have to carry him half the fucking walk.
Tell me a little bit about the lyrics in this song because, again, as a fan, it's just... It's just so ignorant and fun and just.
They're all ignorant.
Yeah. Yo, listen, we had to write all these lyrics one night. We wrote that. We got all coked up and
this is what happened.
Were you writing it on pizza boxes, right? Like
Aaron, we had the riff.
We had girls in.
I'll tell you the story, but go on.
I was gonna say, I was starting to write like you know punk rock type riffs, and I was like, there's another one where I was like, oh, this is one I think is gonna be a killer. And then, you know, basically we had the idea. Yeah, serious, I'm serious. This is the one.
Wait, the one. No, I only think like that. I do.
I do.
He was a white trash. Oh, yeah. Poor guy.
No, it's 100% true. I'm like,
this
oh,
this is going to be the money talk.
I don't know about the money.
This is my ticket. This is my ticket. White Owl comes from a band called White Trash. They were the first buzz clip on MTV.
Yep.
So this guy was he was pretty famous. He had hair. Look at him now. He had beautiful hair.
Yeah, it was on heavy rotation. MTV Buzzbin was
120 minutes, right? Yes.
The new band Butterbrain is most of the dudes.
And Ugly Kid Joe took those niggas out.
Yeah, they fucked us up. But I want to say this that in writing for I probably did have a different mindset of that of like. Focused in on like you know kind of like song structure writing that maybe we weren't thinking like that so
a little more commercial, more or less
like that's why Murphy's Law sounds the way it does the same thing
and but Drugs Money Sex I like when we sat basically that we got me Ezek I believe it was a little time we the ones that stayed up sniffing coke all night and we said we're gonna write the lyrics so to me that was an easy thing. It's like, oh, we got three verses here. It's like the anthem.
Yeah. Yep.
Drugs, money, sex. So, and I was we like, sex your verse. Yeah, I'll take the drugs verse.
I was writing on cardboard. This pizza boxes and that was
there's
cool.
Photos of us with like having the lyrics fucking run out, fucking lines of coke all over the place.
Yeah,
but
we brought eight balls. We brought like two eight balls.
That happens that's for the moment. And seriously, talking.
You guys are drinking fucking Pat's Blue Ribbon. That's I remember that. Remember?
No, they had this. It was like some.
Oh, it was horrible.
Horrible upstate beer. Something ice. Like, goddamn.
I'll remember it.
No, it was some upstate shit.
When you guys wrapped up the record, right? When you're done recording.
If you're done recording, we're driving back. Check this out.
Sal's car caught fire
with the masters in it.
Wait, what?
That's right.
We're driving back from Utica, and Sal's got like 11 of us in the fucking car.
First of all,
shout out to Vinny Ali who got us up there. We never talked about that.
Wait.
The night before we were supposed to start, we had no fucking ride.
So Vinny gave us
our boy Vinny Ali fucking showed up with like a big like SUV before there was SUVs. Drove us all fucking up there.
No shit.
We would have never made it if it weren't for Vinny Ali.
Did I go back and grab something?
I took the bus up. I don't know.
You had gone back to the city a couple times during it, but just to get us up there.
Someone else drove me up there. Who was it?
Don't remember.
We took the bus up there.
Yeah, you took the bus.
That's where the blacks were.
But going back, so we're driving and Sal had one of those like Lincoln things with like the big back to it. The fucking wheels rubbing on the side of the car because there's some damage. The fucking car catches on fire. Not like flames, but, you know, smoldering
on fire. It went on fire.
We're waving people down on the side of the road, asking them for
fire.
Who's got water? Some car stops to give us a soda. We're trying to put it out with big gulps and shit. And we ended up... How did we get home? I think we ended up renting a car or something to get back.
No, someone came.
We did. We rented a car.
No, someone came, picked us up.
Well, I think we ended up renting we tried to rent. Anyway.
Yeah, well, it was
nonstop fucking.
Nonstop craziness in this band.
Improvisation.
And then here we are 20 years later, and Scarhead is still a band, right? So you talk a little bit about that. Where is Scarhead at now today?
I'm going to tell you right now, Scarhead.
Because you guys have been very busy, so talk about this a little bit.
Scarhead just played Diablo Fest. We played August 11th with Brick by Brick at the King's Lynn. We're doing a new EP. So. I guess Scam Dust is in the band. Shout out to Scam Dust.
Oh, God. We didn't even get into Scam Stories.
So, he'll be on part
hold
two.
On, hold on. Joe Fado from the Main Source and fucking Live on the Barbecue and Nas. He's DJing. So I got my man Fado DJing, real hip-hop legend.
And it's active again, right?
Back to Zach. Zach, bassist Paulie. What's up? Shout out to Paulie and Zach. Paulie. I love you. And Dimmy, original Dimmy, Dimrock, original
Dimrock.
The nice Greek is the drum. So we're going to do this record. We're talking to Upstate Records right now, just the talks. But the main thing is I'm doing a reality show with Med, who did Black Ink and stuff like that.
And he was also on our show.
He was a man for graffiti right
out
the front.
Med.
Shout out to Tough City Tattoos. If you want a tattoo, go to Tough City Tattoos in the Bronx and tell them that Danny Diablo sent you. I love you, man. Oh, so Matt and I are going to do the show, and Donnie's helping us out. So basically it's called, I haven't told anyone this.
All right,
it's
exclusive.
Called Danny Diablo's Fantastic Voyage.
Nice.
Oh, geez.
So listen, so it's me and Scam as my co-host. And we go all around to every city and every city, and we go to in a van. We got the van. Right now, we're going to go have a GoFundMe. We got the van. We got old drug dealer van.
Couldn't be any other way.
Yeah, listen. we got to go to GoFundMe to pimp the van out, and we're going to go to every city and find out from our people, like mom and pop's businesses, like what's it's all about the arts. Because without art, there'll be no beauty in the world.
Dope.
So basically, I'll go to the best pizzeria in Chicago. I'll go to the best fucking MMA fucking dojo in Detroit. People that hardcore
that's
punk
dope.
Kids, like dope. Our generation, like my our generation, like they like so they're young and basically scams my car. So we'll be doing that stuff. They'll be like, I'll interview like a new band, the best band there, the best lowrider car club, the best singer in the place, best graffiti writer. Then. The False Scarhead playing a show later on that
day. Then it turns into the Bang Bus.
Ah!
So I just want to really quick. I want to thank all three of you for sharing the stories. Let's just go around the table. So Mitz, you've been really busy.
Jay Reason.
Mitz, you've been really busy. What have you been working on? What's coming out from you? How can everybody find you? Keep up in touch with you. Give us a little plug on what you're working on and stuff.
I shouted out the Israeli band I produced.
Yep. Jew Power, nigga.
Looking to produce something for this year.
Are they on Facebook, Instagram?
Yeah, you can find them on social media. Eternal Struggle.
Okay.
The record's called Year of the Gun, like I said before.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a new band.
Mickey
if anybody's
Rock,
you know, looking to work with somebody, I'm looking for a new
band.
No,
right here, look,
year.
Look, right here. E-Chain Records.
I'm going to produce one of E's bands.
And that's just reach out to you on Facebook.
Yeah, reach out to
Instagram.
Me on social media. Okay, awesome. Mitz7 on Instagram, really easy to find.
Keep up and talk about sports with you. I know you
talk
like
about sports.
Don't talk baseball. About sports when he starts drinking.
No, him and Chino from the distance, shout out to Chino, used to talk about baseball all day. And he's here. He said to say what's up on our scene.
And one of the last things I want to say is that it's great to go back and talk about anniversaries and the glory days and this, that, and the other thing. But Scarhead, this guy's still going.
Yep. No,
so
that's why I wanted to make sure.
Hell yeah. Everybody, it's great to jock the past, but the reality is that all these guys I'm
shout
talking to,
Porter,
everybody's
Mike.
Still got
shout
shit
to
coming
Yvonne.
Out. Everybody's
shout
still
to
got
us.
Shit coming out.
Shout
it's
to
all
deep
about
down.
The here and the now.
Shout out to Boston Mike, rest in peace.
I think
shout out to Lou DiBella, all the singers.
That's why it's important, I think, for our younger listeners to see that there's this huge history and that he is still out there doing it. That's why I wanted to showcase this record.
It started as a Viking project.
Aaron, what have you been working on? Tell us a little bit. So for those who don't know, Aaron started with White Trash, your band there. Do you want to just real quick plug that and talk about what you're doing
Butterbrain.
Now?
Butterbrain. Yeah, but my new project is Butterbrain. It features most of the members of White Trash. It's
Funk face guys?
It's like a funk metal guy. No, but similar. I'd say it's kind of like more of a Fishbone type vibe. It's a little all over
but
the place.
You play with Funk Face, right?
Like in the band, or no, we used to do shows together. Yeah, they were supposed to do this. We have the EP release party at Blackthorn 51.
I'm DJing.
He's actually DJing, and that's going to be on July 12th. The mix of punk, metal, hip hop, and basically that's what I've been focused on.
Are you online? Kids can keep up with you where on Instagram, Facebook.
My music production company is called GothamGoldMusic.com. You can find me on there. Buttergram. I just started an Instagram thing, Butterbrain/NY. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing with Instagram. Yeah, I know. I haven't been on Instagram, so just getting started with that. But if you Google Butterbrain, you'll find all that shit. So Butterbrain's the new shit.
Awesome, man. And with that, that's a wrap, guys. I just want to remind everybody, please sign up for the email list at diablosden.com. Go on to the YouTube channel and subscribe. We're trying to grow our base. So please, everybody, thank you so much for the support. I just want to shout out real quick. D. Randall Blythe from Lamb of God gave us a real show.
Yeah, it's my boy. I'm going to be in a book. He's doing a book of, he's taking photos of singers, frontmen. It's called Frontmen, and I'm going to be in it.
So I just want to shout out the support that me and E have received. Lamb of God, baby. The support we received on this podcast and feedback to it has been awesome. So thank you all for listening.
What's the name of the band?
Which one?
The ones that they were laughing because I didn't know who they were.
Oh, Mind Force.
Yo, what's up, Mind Force?
There you go. Shout out to Jay Pita.
Shout out to Mind Force.
Guys, thank you again so much. We're very, very excited. We'll see you soon. We're going to be back on schedule, right? We're going to do another one next month.
We're going to do it in like 2 weeks. We're doing another one. I think it's going to be Necro.
Well, we'll see.
And Mr. I, we'll see, but I love you, Mom, and I miss you, Dillinger, and I love you, Alexandra.
Awesome. So, everybody, guys, check out Keep Up With Ezak. Scarhead is still playing. There's shows coming up. Check us out.
What up, Tavi?
Thank you very much to Mitz. Thank you very much, White
Just
Owl.
The Goon,
thank
rest
you,
in peace.
Gotham Podcast, and Lord's Jewish. That's a wrap.
Lord's Jewish!
Yes, we're out there, everyone. I'm Hal Schwartz.
And I'm Flynn McClain. Together, we host None But the Brave, a podcast dedicated to the music and career of Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce and E Street Band are on tour right now for the first time in 6 years, and we're taking a detailed look at what's happening on stage in our bi-weekly episodes.
We've also been recently joined by some very exciting guests, including rock journalist Warren Zanes and Stephen Hyden, Backstreet's Magazine founder Charles Cross, and Barstool's Kirk Menahan.
If you're a diehard Springsteen fan, this is the show for you.
So please subscribe to None But the Brave on your favorite podcasting platform, and we hope to see you further on up the road.
Thank you so much! We'll be seeing you!